The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To dedicate a daf, a perik, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Shmuz Daf Mem Daled. I was one time walking down one of the busiest streets in Midtown Manhattan, and I passed by one of New York's most famous banks. I don't remember what the name was, but it was one of the famous banks of Midtown Manhattan. And in the front of the bank was a glass display case with a beautiful collection of jewelry that was it was in the display case, necklaces and watches and earrings. It was obviously worth millions and millions of dollars. And I stopped and I asked the person who was with me, why is the bank displaying jewelry? It's very obviously a bank, not a famous jewelry store in Manhattan. So why is all this jewelry in the window? The person told me that this collection of jewelry is a collateral against a loan that was taken out by one of Europe's royal families. I don't remember if it was Denmark or Belgium or Holland or something, or one of those countries. And they needed a large sum of cash. They were in some financial difficulties. And they had given their crown jewels to this bank as collateral. And the bank had permission to show it in order, obviously, to enhance its prestige, what type of loans they were giving out, what type of high-powered and high-figure loans they were giving out. The bank had rishus to display all this stuff in a display case in the front of the bank. The question would be, if anybody remembers the great New York blackout of 30, 40 years ago, where there were some famous stories where, because there was a tremendous blackout, and most of the big department stores' alarm systems had failed in the blackout, there was no backup power, everything was out, and some thieves who were well prepared went around with some flashlights and were able to break into some jewelry stores and make off with large sums of jewelry from each one of these stores, or large sums of cash, whatever it was. What would be if the jewelry was robbed from this bank in such a scenario? Now, obviously, we can't, as Shoimrim, obviously this is a moot question because the bank was not coming to the Besdin to ask Shalos of Halacha, but just for theoretical purposes. And the truth of the matter is that even though it's not so common today, but in every shtetl in Europe, the common practice was if somebody was short on cash, somebody was didn't have money to make Shabbos, he would go to a pawn shop, and the job of the pawn shop was they would take as collateral, as a mashkin, something of value, something of usually was the housewife's leichter, or one piece of jewelry that she had in the first place, and they would give her the sum of cash she needed. They would have a certain amount of time to pay back that choyim. This is what we call mashkin, all over halacha. What would be, in the case that we said, if the alarm system was down, obviously the money being stolen is beyond the regular confines of Gnei Vaveda. There's nothing you can do about it if all the electricity suddenly blows. It would have a din of an oinis. If it would have a din of an oinis, what would be the halacha of the person, the malvu, who's holding on to the mashkin, in terms of responsibility for that chefetz? Would he have a chi of oinsin, in which case the money that's lost is lost from him, and the chayif is will have to forfeit his gvias chayif, because the mashkin is on him? Or we'll say no, he's not more than a shem esochar, even though he's having hanor from the mashkin being in his rishus, but he's not more than a shem esochar. And if he's a shem esochar, then on gnei v'aveda he would be chayif, but on this type of extreme case would be considered an oinis. In which case the halacha would be that he would be potter, and therefore he'd be able to collect his whole chayv, and the loss of the mashkin would be incurred by the owner of the mashkin, by the loiva, not of the malva, the one who's holding on at present to the mashkin. So we find that our sugya, the Gemara brings the famous memra of Rabbi Yitzchok. It's a Gemara in five places in Shas, here by Yosem Chuz, in Psalchim, in Gittin, in Kedushin, in Bava Metzir. Famous Gemara that everybody discusses, Minayin Lamalchoiv Shekoin Amashkin Shenema Luchoti Yitztok. Rabbi Yitzchok says, the Pasuk says that if a person gives back a mashkin in a timely fashion, Uluchoti Yitztok, it will be considered as if you had given him a gift of tzedakah. If it's not the property of the malva, why would he be considered as giving tzedakah when he gives it back to the loiva? And it's not clear b'hemshach ha'gemara what are the parameters of this kinyan mashkin. The Gemara discussed in terms of being the shem b'selka, the Gemara can be the shem b'aveda. There's a, in the halacha l'maisa of how strong this kinyan mashkin is, there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivid. Halacha l'maisa. The Rambam is in Hilchos Chirus, in Perek Yud, and the Rambam paskins like the Rif, that we, that Reb Yitzchok's din of Balchor Karmashke is an accepted la halacha. And the Rambam says this is true, bein b'shah salvo, bein shaloi b'shah salvo. There's an essential difference between two types of mashkin. A mashkin which is b'shah salvo is not being taken as a form of payment. It's a mashkin that the malva is taken in order to give the loiva a shtup, a push in the right direction to pay him back at the right time and at the right rate. So the malva takes a mashkin, and if the loiva is missing something, something that's important to him, he'll make sure to pay up that chayv. And obviously, if he skips down, the malva will have something to show for the money that he gave the loiva. Shaloi b'shah salvo, where later on, after the chayv was already had already existed for a while, the malva comes to the loiva and he says, "Look, I'm not getting my money back. I want something in hand. I want something. I want a bird in the hand. Sometimes it won't even be worth as much as the chayv. Many times it won't be worth as much as the chayv. But at least give me something." And when you give me back cash, then I'll give you back the item. That's also a mashkin. The Rambam says that both of them have the halacha of a shem misocher, kimavur behemshich. Hagemara, that the Gemara compares a balchoy that's kind of a mashkin to a shem misocher. And therefore the Rambam paskins that if the mashkin is nenas, it's taken away from the malva in circumstances that he had no control over, boinis, the halacha will be that the loss will be taken by the loiva, by the owner of the chayfetz, and not by the malva who's holding on to it, because it's not more than a shem esocher. Obviously if it was stolen, even a shem esocher bears responsibility. And that's, this is the way the Rambam paskins up in the Gemara. The Raivid over there is masik, that this Gemara, the Gemara by us, when the Gemara says behemshich, that Balchoy Kaina Mashkin is compared to Shem Ravedu Kamitfugi, is compared to Shem Ravedu, who is a Shem Isachar, is only a Mashkin B'Shah Salvo, where as we said, the Mashkin has been taken in order to remind the loiva, to give the loiva an incentive to pay back the choy. Masha'ekin, a Mashkin Shaloi B'Shah Salvo, the Ravid says, is like a Guvainu. When a malva comes later on, after the loiva hasn't paid up for a while, and he says, I'm taking something as collateral, what he's doing is he's seizing payment for the choyv. It might be partial payment, it might be full payment, it might not be the payment he wants. He doesn't want to have to hold on to that person's possessions and be metapel on seller. He wants cash back the way he gave it, and he's entitled to cash. But at least he should have something. At least he should have something. So he takes a mashkin, but really what he's doing is he's taking it as a form of guvayna, which will be mitli toli, meaning to say, it'll be a gvias choiv with the ability of the loiva to redeem that chayfis, which is by the malva, with money or property of his own choosing. But as for now, the malva has already collected his choiv. If the malva collects his choiv, it belongs to him. That's the kinyan, means that it really belongs to him. If it really belongs to him, then obviously, he'll be chayv b'itzin. And if the chayfetz is lost, b'ayin is, the loss will be incurred by the malva, because this is the item that he had already collected against his choyf. Now, there are other halachas that are told in about choyf kind of mashkin, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Dav Ches, that a man who has a mashkin tachas yodi could be mekadosh an issue with it. Over there, the Raivid in Ishus Perakeh does not differentiate between a mashkin b'shasav or mashkin shalai b'shasav. Well, for the very simple reason that Reb Yitzchok's memory about choyf kind of mashkin is true to a limited extent, even by a mashkin b'shah salvo. Even though the mashkin is not to be understood as payment of the choyv itself, still the malva does have somewhat of a kinyan, and therefore he could be mekadosh the isha with that somewhat kinyan that he has in that chayfetz. The same is true. The Gemara says in Gittin that if a malva has tachas yodoy, a mashkin, the choyv which the Loiva Osten is not mishtamed with the din of Shemitah's Ksofim. At the end of Shemitah, when all debts become nullified, Sukkim and Pa'im. In Parshas Re'eh, so then the halacha is also that if the malva is holding on to a mashkin, the kin, the somewhat, the whatever level of kinyan that he has in the chayvitz, will consider that to be that the chayv is taras yodoy, and then the halacha will be that the chayv is not mishtam. Over there also the rabbi is not mechalik, because the partial kinyan that he has of a mashkin mishas halo will be enough to take away the halacha of shmitas ksof. So getting back to our case with the bank that has the jewelry displayed in the front window, the halacha will be, since the items were taken away by Ines, not the Gnei Aved, as we explained, the halacha will be that it will depend what type of mashkin it is. According to the Rambam, it won't make a difference. Either way, the bank will be potter, and the loss will be incurred by the royal family of wherever it was. It's their jewelry. The bank is not more than a Shem Zach. However, according to the Ravid, if the mashkin was taken shaloi b'shasava later on after the choiv as collateral, there the halacha will be that it will be considered a form of payment, and the loss will be incurred by the bank, not by the royal family. So this is an important halacha. Again, it's not so relevant bizman hazeh, but in former times where pawning one's personal possessions was very common practice, this halacha was quite negative every time a store was broken into. Imagine a poor housewife gave her only piece of jewelry in order to be able to buy chicken and challah for Shabbos, and that Friday night there was a pogrom in town, and goyim came in and stole whatever jewelry there was in the store. The halacha would be that the loss would be incurred by her, not by the storekeeper. But since it's a mashkin b'shas halvo, it's definitely not a form of payment. Hein according to the Rabbi, hein according to the Rambam, the halacha would be that the loss will be incurred by her, and unfortunately she'll have to pay the choyim. Or at least told, maybe I'll have Rachmanis on her, but as far as halacha would be concerned, he'd be able to collect his coin, and the loss of the jewelry would be totally her hefsid and not the owner of the pawn shops. Another basic ramification of this machloikis, the Rambam and the Rabbi, which incidentally is also machloikis to Rashi and Tosfos in Kiddushin Daf Ches, as well as the Balamor and the Ramban by also the Sugya and Shuas. What will be if the mashkin decreases, let's say these crown jewels that were held by the bank, let's say the diamond market took a sudden hit, well, let's say it the other way, the diamond market rose steeply, and the jewelry is worth a lot more a year after it was taken by the bank than when it was given to the bank. So what will be when the jewelry is stolen later on? Will the bank be responsible? Will the pawn shop owner, whatever the case is, be responsible? Let's backtrack a second. We're not talking about a case of oidness. We're talking about responsibility where the bank will actually be responsible. For instance, a case of Zeila Baveda, which would be more common by bank. Zeila Baveda is not so common. Let's talk about the pawn shop for a second. The owner of the pawn shop received a lighter, a candelabra for candlesticks from the woman in the shtetl in order to give her the money that she needs to buy Shabbos or Yom Tov for the next few weeks. And there's a theft over Shabbos, and the candlesticks are stolen. So he's obviously a Shem Esofi, he's chayiv. The question is the chiyuv will be told, again, if it's over Shabbos right then, usually there's no increase in value. But let's say he was holding on to it for 2 years, let's say. And in those 2 years, the price of silver had gone up sharply, and now the silver is worth 25% more than when the owner of the pawn shop received it 2 years ago. Do we say that he's chayiv? Lefi the value of what was stolen from him, he's a shomer, shomer sofer at least, on the candlesticks, and now they were stolen, they're worth $125 instead of $100. Do we say he's chayiv to the owner of the candlesticks, to the woman who came into the store 2 years ago, $125, or no? Since he took the $100, keneged the choyv, which he gave the woman, which let's say was worth $100, therefore, that's what he was mechayiv himself to. This will depend on our shayla. If he's a shomer socher, the halacha is a shomer socher is always all shomer mo is chayiv kifishas hagzeilah. because until then it was owned by the owner, and the shomer bears responsibility for the value of the item which is in his hand. Even if it went up in value, he's responsible for the value of the item as is. So therefore, it was stolen from him when it's worth $125. Not only would he forfeit his $100 choy that he gave to the $400 loan that he gave to the woman, but he would owe her $25. But if we consider that the owner of the pawn shop is a was goyv or choyv, he collected his choyv of Ushalay Bishah Savor, according to the rabbi, of Ushalay Bishah Savor, and he had already collected his choyv from the woman. So then we would consider that the item is owned by him, and therefore the only item that he used, the only value that one could place on the candlesticks was that which he collected b'shas when he collected his coin, and then it was only worth $100. Therefore, we would only cancel out the $100 debt. We would not penalize him for the $25 because it's something that's already owned by him. If it's already owned by him, he's not responsible to her except for the choy that was collected against the item. So that would be another nafkamina between the poskim. The halacha lemaisa is in choy shemishpat simanai and beis that that a balchoy that's koyim mashkin is not chayim boitzim like the Rambam. What's very puzzling about this psak of the Shulchan Aruch is a different psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which does not seem to fit. There's another machloekis the Rambam the Ravid, seemingly unrelated, where the Rambam the Ravid in Hilchas Halvo, Hilchas Movel Beloy, the Perek Gimel, argue about the lav of, there's a lav, the Torah says, Lesach bol beged almona, even though a malva is allowed to, after a while, seize a mashkin, if he's afraid his bed won't be collected, from the property. In certain instances, he's allowed to take a mashkin, or the person's mukhuyiv, to give him a mashkin, keneged koyvoy, from his property. The halacha is that one is not allowed to pressure, or take from an almona, a mashkin. The lashon of the pasuk is Lesach bol beged almona. And obviously, in the case of the pawn shop of 100 years ago in the shtetl, the most common, unfortunately, the most common case where a woman would have to pawn her possessions in order to raise a little bit, cash, would be an almona. So this was unfortunately all too common in the world of the shtetl. And the Rambam says over there that the lav is of the Sakhu Begad Amona is true both B'Shas Havo and both Shaloi B'Shas Havo. The Ravid argues, and the Ravid says that the lav is only Shaloi B'Shas Havo. What's the pshat? L'chor the Machlokes is the Rambam, the Ravid, L'shitasein. The Rambam that says that a mashkin ben B'Shas Havo ben Shaloi B'Shas Havo is considered only as a guarantee against Peroyan Choyv, but it's not the Peroyan of the Choyv itself. The Rambam holds that there is no difference between the two. The Ravid understands that the lav of Lesakhu Begad Almona is in collecting a Choyv from a woman, from an unfortunate woman, in a way of seizing her property. The Torah put a lav that you have to collect it in a gentle fashion. You can't go in and you can't take a mashkin. You can't take one of her, the few possessions that she has left, this poor almana. You can't take her personal possessions as collecting the Choyv, because then she's not going to have what to function with. You take a coat, she'll never have another coat again. So the Ravid says, this is true only Shaloi B'Shas Halvo. But B'Shas Halvo, you're not taking her coat. The only thing you're doing is you're holding on to the coat to remind her to pay the mashkin. Who says that the Torah asked that? So the Ravid says that the Isser is only to take it away by Ifin, that she won't get her back her coat. That's only Shaloi B'Shas Halvo. Now, the Ram of the Ravid would seem to be the Shittasem. What's very, very puzzling is that the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tzadik Vov, in Tzadik Zayin, I'm sorry, Sif Yudalid, in the Halachas of Gvius Choyf, paskins like the Ravid, legabi the lav of Lesach will beg an almona, despite the fact that he paskins like the Rambam in the Etzem Din of Akarayus, that a Malva who's holding on to a Mashkin has for the Mashkin itself. And this is a stira which Lechoya bears some type of eum.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center,
for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.